Helena Kahn, Reel 2. Yes, you were saying that about the different work you were doing and the very long hours and the days. Could you know what sort of day would you have had?
We started at 8 o'clock and we worked till 7 o'clock. When the trains were not empty, then we have to work later. This is, and we have to go to work with the trolley, what we, you know, what you see, like buses, but the open one. We went home to the barracks, you know. And the people, the Germans, when you're looking down, they say today nobody know about it, but it's such a big lie. Because the way you're looking up, you know, the railway is always deeper. Like you see here, when you go with the underground, you know, it is not under the ground, but it's deeper than the streets. So this was all covered with wire, you know. So when you're looking on top of the way you're walking, you know, for Sunday, for out the way, you're looking on us down, like you see sometimes in film, you look, the slaves were there, you know, by the black one were there slaves in the farms. And some of them used to peel down apples and put the peels down. And when the Germans not looked, we picked it up, you know, because we were ashamed to show that we are so hungry. We were very proud. And I was proud, I don't know. Anyway, this was the place where we walked in the barn of Radegast. 42 started the evacuation. 1942 started to be razzias on the streets. They went into the houses, was still where they had, because when you walk for the German in this factory, you have the barrack, but they were still houses, it's a big place. But then you went into the streets, and all of a sudden, they, with the dogs and with the soldiers in white clothes, like doctors, you know, and everybody had to go down from the house, everybody, ill or not ill. And then my sister, what I told you before, when she was ill with typhus, when she came out, she couldn't go to work because she was very, very ill, and she was pale, and we have to go down. And they used to select, when they put with the finger, and first of all, the children that were taken away from the mothers, were alive, beautiful children. And when we came to us to go down, and my sister was so bad looking, so I gave her the jacket from the suit from her husband. There was a light jacket still what we have. And I took some, what you know, what you build the houses, the, what you, how you call this, the stones, you know, what you put the red houses on. I have a piece of it and I made on her.
The brick?
The brick. I took the piece of brick and I made her the face that it looks a little bit more red. And she went down and thank God they left her. But my mother, I used hiding because she was not 100%, you know. So funny enough, at night, when we know that the next morning our strength is going in, I took my mother, I don't know how the energy I have, and I hide her one evening in the big wooden train, right, the straw for the shoes for the thing. You know, how you call this, what you put up in the field to dry?
Like a haystack.
Yes, yes. And I put her inside, that nobody could find her till the Germans came away from this part, you know. And then they came to invest it, because it was few of them, of somebody where they hidden. I hid it because I work there, I know what can do. And then they went in with the, they would start to push up, nobody's there. But lucky, my mother, only the coat was a little bit torn. And when they went out, of course, she was more confused, I took her out. Oh, it was terrible, and I went inside to dark houses, what I never know the people. Can I hide the mother here, because they are making this in the street, the selection. But this, then, now she was deported 1944, yes. When 42 started the deportation, we have been on the barn of working. We have to prepare the buckets for to put in the wagons. We have to, the people have been allowed to take 20 kilos, you know, with them. But they have no still possessions. But this was all taken out on the railway, and was everything put it on the streets, you know. And the German soldiers opened it, in my eyes, took out what was to be taken, put in under the uniforms, brought it into their train, that nobody sees it. And it was actually perfect, real robbery. They had to give away everything. They had nothing. Some of them were standing with the nice open back, you know, with the diplomat and back, the Germans, and everybody have to put in what they have, the watch, the clean, everything what was something of the day was put in. In other way, we didn't go to work. This was like, you know, in blackmail to save for the one day. This was when we finished there, when I went to the Barn of Radegast, the selection took day and night, and we deported a lot of people, and we don't know where they are going. There must be appeals and announcements from the German. We're going to go to bigger places where the factories are better organized and the food is going to be much better and it's going to be much easier. But this was all going to be Auschwitz to the selection. So we're going to Auschwitz from Poland to Majdanek, Treblinka, Kieniec, Pusterhausen, everywhere.
And you had no idea of that?
We had not an idea. The first few months we had not an idea. But when the...
What did you think? Where did you think they were going?
No, wait a moment. When the trains came back, you know, empty, then we have to clean it up to make it ready for the Anna group, you know, because they were already staying there to be put in like the cattle. They were cattle trains, you know, tracks. They were only on top, a little window, so small one, you know. Like when the door was closed, then it's finished. It was sealed up, was put down on top, 80 people or 90 people. This was the selection, and this was the transport day and night. It was organized murder, practically. So we found, after a few months, we found little pieces of paper stuck in the corners from the train, what the people wrote down at this hot, at burns. We don't know what it was. Till we found out it was the gas chambers. It took us a long time to realize it, you know, till we found out where we were going. So the 42-43 was the selection. They had to make the ghetto completely empty. They took all out. Because we worked on the fields, we were black workers, you know, physical workers. Then we had a selection, 700 people from our group of work. We are selected to stay on for 14 days to clean up the ghetto. What was the cleaning up in the ghetto? We were mornings, then we went in already to the old factories. We were sleeping there, men different and women. What they have happened things is not to explain. At night, sometimes at 2 o'clock, we slept in of the, you know, of the wooden sink with straw. Then came in soldiers, they were probably drunk, and we have still there in the beginning some of one or two ladies who were pregnant, and they have to dance for them and to sing the Jewish songs. And every child what was found, when it was found, there were a lot of people killed, you know, they have to kill this baby. The people who helped to have this baby, they have to disappear with it, was not existing. Now, one baby survived, what is absolutely miracle. We went in morning to that pill, you know, like the soldiers. Men here, forward, women, forward. She used to be next to me with the group of the people who worked in different factory, and she had a bundle under her arm. It looks like, you know, a little blanket, dark blanket. And we assumed that this is something to change the clothes because it was cold, you know, it was winter, it was snowing. And this way, inside later on, this was a baby, was 6 months old, this was to the end. And I saw this baby once after the war. I only have seen the two beautiful eyes. It was very small, it was living actually of water and flour, you know, and a sweet eggs, you know, because there was nothing else there. How this baby survived, only God knows. And was not once crying by that pill. Was quiet, like a miracle that somebody had to survive this little child. And it was being there waiting 2-3 hours till they came, the soldiers, after the Bieber, what was this, the Himmler's brother-in-law, with the data they used to take selecting from us working down already to go to work. Then when somebody have something on the face not clean, because we have not any washer, we washed ourselves with snow. And we washed our clothes with snow, and then we put it under the straw mattress to dry in the morning to put it on. And they used to select people who don't like the face. They actually went through the 200-300 people and say, here, here, here. They have to step out. They used to go on this side. And we know exactly where they're going, because 5-6 days later, the clothes came back and the shoes, what we have to put in for the selection to send to Germany. We had thousands and thousands of pairs of shoes and clothes, and the tickets for the, you know, from the bread display, everything. So they took them with the car. You've probably seen it and read about it. A lot where you gasped, a lot where you buried for life, and a lot where you sent to Auschwitz. So we actually a systematic destruction to kill the human Jews, to take them out, to rip them out from the from life. This was not something happening like now in Kosovo, of course, it's terrible, but there is the situation for land, you know, in different camps, different people. It is very, very sad. But we were actually killed because we were Jews. It was not for land. It was to take away the money, because the Jews are supposed to be so rich, take away every possession and to kill them, that nobody knows what happened. I have not seen the gas chambers because I was there to the end. But I know later on what is happening to the pieces of paper, what we find out.
Yes, I was wondering, when the cattle trucks came back, Helena, what sort of state were they in? Because you had to clean them out, didn't you?
They only have one or two buckets for 70, 80 people. So the people were from worry and from hunger and from distress. They were relieving themselves in the wagons, you know. And we have to clean this, and we have, with claw, have put in big pieces of tall clothes for them, because it was not possible to smell it. It was terrible. And this had to be cleaned very quick with the disinfection to make it ready for the other things. And then when we had time, then we used to put in some water for drink, because they did not give any water either. And they were screaming to the little corner, water, water, give us a bit of water. It was terrible. And you know, after the war, I was examined by the doctor in hospital in Bonn University in Germany, and I already had my children. My daughter was already then 7 or 8 years, and my son was 3 or 4. And I was sent there to examination of I am entitled to have some Wiedergutmachung, to have some repayment, or cannot be repaid with any money in the world. But they refused it because I was young when I came in, and I was pregnant with 18, and was with mother with 20. And when you have second time the baby, because I was undernourished, I couldn't have menstruation, so I was on medication. And they asked me, after all the 6 days being there and examined everything, then they took me down to the boss, you know, to the director from the school, to the doctor. He was a nice man. And he says to me, you live there and there, you have 2 children. When I go to this city where you live, after the war, to Trier, by the on the French border, Luxembourg, can I come to see the children? I ask him why. Then he says to me, because I would like to see in the exam them if they are normal. Because you were a young child, what you went through. Then, and I was so stupid that I said, I beg your pardon, how dare you to accuse my children not to be normal. I was very, very abused, you know. And he was said, I don't want to abuse you, I only want to help to see what has happened. I was so stupid. He gave me actually the idea in my head, and I not understood, because when I came home, and I already had my shop in Germany, then my neighbor, what came from Theresienstadt, she says to me, you see, he helped you to complain that you get a good pension. You could say you are not normal. But I said I abused him, so I not got a penny. And you know what she done? She was taken to examination, was older than me, and she complained of headache, but she had headache because she was beaten up a few times, you know. Then they had said after the examination they had to operate on her brain. And she said, operate yourself on the brain. You operated on us enough. Nobody's going to operate my brain. And they gave her a very nice pension. Till she died, she had a very comfortable life. You know, and I only got till now 25%. She used to have 80 or 100. So 44, before they make the selection for the 700 people, then the last people have to go. Some who have known the sellers, you know, from the factories, some of them hide away. I don't know where I can hide my mother. So in the last transport, my mother was in, my sister, my brother-in-law, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law. They were in one train, in one truck. They were sent 44. This was in August. And we're supposed to remain till 14 days, you know. So when we start working, then what was the work? There were beautiful churches, you know. So we have to go and take out all the figurines and all the pictures and destroy them. And then all the people used to bring in from the places where the Jews were living feathers, you know, pillows and duvets, everything but was with feathers, because this was very, very, no, everybody had good feathers, you know, from goose, the best one. And we had to throw, to turn off the things and put out the feathers in the church, because it was very high, that the dust set down and the feathers become clean. And then we used to put them in big sacks. It was all deported to Germany. Everything, the last piece of wood, and whatever is possible to be found, everything sent to Germany. Can you imagine? The old bedding was sent there, the feathers, everything. It was absolutely, it was very dirty. And then we were always examined when we went out, you know, if we had not found something. Because once I went in a empty place, what was always the big ovens, you know, what is in Poland, when it's winter, that you make the fire, then it's hot in the whole room, doesn't exist central heating like here. Then we were opening the door, there were a few pieces of newspaper and a few pieces of so wood, little things, like somebody wants to light it before they were taken away, and the, you know, in the selection. And we took it out, and there it was stuck in a beautiful mink coat. You know, they want to hide it, you know. Such things happen, and they know this. That's why we were to select every piece and every place where it was possible, and everything to collect together. We were searched every day, or we had not hide something. This was in the ghetto, this was the good time.
Your last little group, you know, the people who were left.
Yes.
And it seems that you were in that remaining group,
yes,
the last group.
What was it? My number was 669, and my husband's was 700.
So he was in the same place?
Yeah, but his parents were deported together with mine, and he worked in the same place in Bahnhof. He was a strong man from Germany. He was one of the strongest working men, but then he became very ill because he was beaten up twice, three times. And he had an enlarged heart, what I have now, you know. And was not any medication. The only medication was aspirin. This was ruined my kidneys, that I cannot take any aspirin for my heart. Because the aspirin makes stones, you know. And I had three kidney operations after the war, major one.
Could I just confirm, though, that this camp, you know, where you were staying, the last 700 of you.
In the ghetto, in a big...
In Lodge Ghetto.
In Lodge Ghetto, it was empty completely, you know, with
yes.
Somebody there.
You mentioned Bahnhof, that's the station.
There I was, the station,
yes.
Bahnhof-Radegast.
I see.
There were all people deported from there. This was only one big station, huge.
Yes.
Where all the trolley, before it was sent in all the goods and out, and then was the deportation to this Bahnhof-Radegast, day and night.
Why were you one of the 700, do you think? What was it about
because
you?
Because they needed, we were taken out to selection. And they took out what looked something. My lack of mind saving was I had nice red cheeks. And I was a little, very slim in my husband, but we looked healthy in our faces. And they took us out. The other one went to the left and we went to the right. And when they were finished, and they sent us back to the barrack where we were living, and we start working to clean up the ghetto. But we have day and night to go and everything, empty and collect whatever was there to make it ready to send out to Germany.
What was left? Was there much there?
I told you. Mm-hmm. Everything was the feathers, the wood was taken away. When they find some gold or some... treasures, candlesticks, whatever was still left, you know, because in the last few months, mostly the way the selection is very quick and unexpected. And people could take with them to the so and so much, but they are not to everything. They want something to hide, hoping when they survive, they come back, they're going to have something. And they know about it. And this is why we have to clean up to get the night. It was not 2 weeks. Because when my mother was in the truck with my whole family, then she used to say through the window, she says to me, my child, when you survive, then she said, as a Jewish saying, then I hope that you're going to go through your life without needing a doctor and a solicitor. I'm sorry to say, not always true. This was the saying, you know. We have to work on the other side, to load in the, when you make iron and when you put together with the foil, with the machine, what you call this, what you have covered your face in the cars and now in the factories when you have to, what is this in English?
Steel.
The machines, what is taking foil and is putting together, you know, it looks like a big gun, but it is with fire.
Like a torch?
Yes.
Like a torch?
Yes, when you have to put together parts from iron.
Oh, a welding.
A welding torch,
yes.
We have to load up, I remember, it was welding thousands of them, and we have to put it up in the trays on the other side, what was sent to the factories from the munition, you know, I assume. And here was the trade to put away, and they were our people. And they were all singing Hatikva. The last song was always Hatikva. And by every track were 2 soldiers with the machine guns, you know, so nobody could go in. They closed it up, and they were waiting sometimes 3-4 hours. And August was still hot, the last few transports. Then they opened the wagon to take out the dead, because they killed. They had suffocated after being 3-4 hours, 70-80 people. We have only 4 or 6 cattle, and they were 70-80 people. Then they opened the door to take out the dead, you know. And there was the smell and the dust, and the like a fire, you know. It was terrible. And we want to give them some water in the bucket, you know, but we couldn't. I was there when my sister was like this, the project, with typhus, for a second time. Yes. I saw it. I helped them to go in. Of course, we have cleaning. In this train, in this truck, I have put in 3 buckets with water. I done whatever I could.
And so I suppose at that time, because of the messages, you had some idea of where they were going. Is that right?
Of course, some people would came in from the selection. They all traveled and had pens with them, paper, they were not taken naked like to the gas chamber, they were still dressed, you know, whatever they had. And they scratched when they arrived, like the human Auschwitz, they saw it as burning, then they put down in Polish, you know, or in Yiddish, it is burning. And you don't know in the beginning what is burning. It's burning, it's red, it's hot. That we know what has happened, but we couldn't. It was actually, we had 2 or 3 groups, you know, for what you call this, what we were collecting together at night, the men, what we were still in the alive, you know, to make him, you know, black partisans, we tried to escape. Some of them tried to escape, some want to protest, you know. But before this happened, then always it came out, somebody denounced them. Whatever they got threat or something, they denounced them, Jewish to Jewish, and they were taken away.
How about the Judenrat in Lodz?
Yes.
Did you ever have any dealings with them?
Funny enough, by the last election from the 700 people, my late husband, my first husband, they don't want to go. They want to go in the train with the father, mother, and my mother, and my sisters, and my brother. And they said, when you select it, you can stay on for 14 days and then you go farther. And I was then 17 or 18 years of age, 17 or 44, 17, 18 years of age. And I have in me such a feeling. And I said to my husband, we have to go to the selection. probably going to be chosen. Then he said, what is 14 days? It's better to get. I said, well, 14 days is 40 days life. Let's try and see. I have a feeling we have to go there. And probably we can survive. You never know. I don't want to go the last moment. When I have a chance, I want to remain. And we arrived there in the last moment, and they were all up selecting already. This was in a very big place, from a very big factory, from clothes, you know, with the machines still there. They took the machines everywhere. There was a millions what they have. Unbelievable fortunes. All the machines, all the things, that everything was transported back to Germany. It was empty, like an empty shell. And when we arrived, then the selection was there. And I was covered in sweat with my husband because we rushed. He don't want to go to the last moment. And I said, I am going, but you don't want, and I go on my own. So we arrived very flushed, very hot. And outside were standing two elderly men and two women. And I don't know that this was the oldest from the Jews, Rumkowski. I don't recognize him because he married me in the ghetto. He was like the judge, you know. And he started to argue with one of the doctors in the white clothes, you know, doctors were an assessment. And then he says, why you take me out on the left side? Because you know what has happened. I gave you so many thousands of people when you asked me. I gave you all the little children. I gave you all the old men. And I always do all the orders what you gave me, I refilled. Why did you take me out? And he said to him, you dirty Jew, you be quiet and we stand there. And I arrived with my husband. And they said, this is a quality for work. You see, we need the young people. This is material. And funny enough, what you, this is really true, and they put me and my husband in on his place with his wife.
And this was Rakowski?
Rumkowski.
How do you spell that?
Chaim Rumkowski.
R-O...
R-U-M Rum K Rumkowski. Rumkowski.
And he was the head of the Judenrat?
He was the oldest of the Jews, yes, he was the president, oldest from the Juden. I have saved, actually, my marriage paper from the very big register, what he signed it, you know. And with my mother, this was a very interesting thing. I was sent into the offices from the Jewish Gemeinderat, you know, to select and to destroy the books and everything. And I went in the one of the rooms and I saw the very big, you know, the very big books where you're the marriage, where you're taking in the death certificates. And I saw 43. I was married 43 on 13th of June. So I took out this book and they were screaming outside, Halina, make it, because when they come, they're going to be beaten up. I said, I'm going to look, one moment. And I found my big thing. I still have it. What is in German, in Polish, and in Yiddish, my marriage paper. And I look, what is life is peculiar. I throw it out from the thing, put back the ledge, and put it in my under my clothes, and I kept it till the last moment. And it helped me here in England when my children got married. Then I have to prove that we are Jewish here for the Jewish community. And I brought my paper, I still have it, and they don't want to give it out from their hands. They make directly copies, and the Scotland Yard have the copy because it's the only one paper from Lodge. And we were one of the few couples where we survived both together, you know. Here's one of the few. And where we went every 8 years to sign that we are alive for the little pension to the embassy. Then the beginning was to pull up away a few hundred people or a few thousand. And we have to wait 2-3 hours till we could go in. Later on, there was only 10 people or 15 people. So I once said to the... to one of the office employees, to an elderly woman, I said, I know, so yet now it goes so quick, we don't need to stay 3-4 hours. Then he says to me, we are still heavy enough. And from then on, I not went more to the embassy, I went to the police station, because I felt that you, that she said to me, a lot died, but it's still enough. This is the German attitude, you know. But the Germans, the people who live in Germany now, the Jewish people, from concentration camps, they came back from out from America, some came back from Israel, or they were living in Germany, they came back, or they were homeland, you know. They live quite comfortable. The Jewish Rat is helping them very well. They are very, they have work, they have nice income, they are very prosperous in comparison to us here.